Hello, Texas America World. Mark Hancock's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined this morning by Greg Felton, the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. And as an example of just how true the title of Greg's book is, take a look this morning at Jim Loeb's piece at antiwar.com entitled Cheney Raises the Rhetoric Against Iran. Cheney's raising of rhetoric occurred in a major policy address to the Washington Institute for Near East Policy, WINEP, the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. And lo and behold, as you go down the page in terms of Mr. Loeb's essay, you discover a very, very interesting couple of paragraphs. The forum chosen by Cheney to deliver his speech was in many ways as significant as its timing and context, says Jim Loeb. The Washington Institute for Near East Policy, a generally hawkish think tank, was founded some 20 years ago by the research director of the highly influential lobby, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, or AIPAC, and is funded by many of the same donors. AIPAC, in turn, has led a high-powered effort to persuade Congress to impose tough new sanctions against Iran and foreign companies that do business with it, and more recently to have Tehran's Revolutionary Guard declared a quote-unquote terrorist organization. Greg Felton, how are you in Canada today, my friend?
I'm doing well, Mark. Yourself?
Very good. Where do you want to take the conversation in these last 60 minutes?
Well, let's pick up on Jim Loeb's piece first. He's quite okay. Right. WINEP is little more than an offshoot of AIPAC, and one of the head people of that is Dennis Ross, who, as you remember, was one of Bill Clinton's advisors or interlocutors at the so-called Oslo Agreement. And Dennis Ross is one of the people who helped sabotage that agreement, and he's the person who's ahead of it. And yet, I have a chapter in my book called Invasion of the Policy Snatchers, where I talk about groups like WINEP and the AEI, American Enterprise Institute, and the Center for Security Policy, all of whom serve as a Zionist parallel government. So when Cheney goes to speak to WINEP, he's really speaking to his bosses. He's not speaking to the American public or the United States. What WINEP does is it serves Israel. And you have this whole scheme of pro-Israel businesses and lobby groups that have really done a number on the United States. And these all started to proliferate like mushrooms after Ronald Reagan took over as president. Matter of fact, the AEI was little more than a common pro-business lobby group. But about 1955, it changed leadership, and a man named Christopher DeMuth came in. And, well, you had a scenario where it turned into a hardline pro-Reaganaut neocon pressure group. And now it's a farm team for the government, for the Bush junta. You have Robert Bork, Michael Ledeen, John Bolton, every odious, bigoted, right-wing thug that you could think of, at some point or another, probably walked through the AEI. And this is an example of just who really runs the country when you have someone like Cheney talking to WINEP, giving him informed, specific rhetoric about what he plans to do. That's who he has to account to. It's not the American public.
Truer words were never spoken, Greg. We'll be back with Greg Felton, the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America, when Mark Dankoff's America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
A2202 or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com.
This is Mark Dancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our very special guest today is Greg Felton, the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. Greg hooks up with us live from Vancouver this morning. Greg, as we continue to unfold some stories this a.m., I'm again struck by the irony of the fact that between watching the Fox News Republican presidential debates last night and then reading some of this material that we've been making reference to in the air this morning, the American right has, I mean, I've constantly emphasized this on this show, and yet it comes back to me again. I never cease to be amazed by just what a tumultuous, gargantuan shift we have had in terms of the American right in the last 50 years. I mean, listening to these guys last night, with the exception of Ron Paul, you would have the impression that the American right historically supported constant foreign interventionism abroad, borrowing billions of dollars from foreign banks to support wars for empire in the Middle East and elsewhere. Very little was said last night by three-fourths of these candidates in regard to a $9 trillion national debt, None of them were really addressing the issues related to this whole creation of a federal police state, especially in the last 5 or 6 years with the Patriot Acts and the Military Commissions Act and the National Security Agency spying program and so forth. I mean, it really does seem to me that what you have is a circumstance where what used to be a movement that emphasized individual liberty and extreme suspicion of interventionist government at home and abroad has now largely become, if I can venture this rather controversial thought, a movement that has a lot in common with neo-fascism, frankly.
What is neo-fascist? It's precisely what it is. I mean, nothing is farther from the Republican mentality than foreign interventionism. I mean, the Republicans have traditionally been more isolationist, almost autarkic in their economic outlook. I mean, Pat Buchanan is probably the most typical example of what traditional Republicans believed during up until, let's say, like the Eisenhower Republicans. Although Eisenhower wasn't rapidly as religious as Buchanan, I mean, the idea of foreign intervention about spending money, spending yourself into oblivion to fight unnecessary, especially unnecessary foreign wars, that has been traditionally the Democrats' bailiwick. I mean, the Democrats were usually thought of as the party of war. They're the ones who got involved in World War II. They're the ones who got us into Korea. They're the ones who got us into Vietnam. The Republicans didn't. The Republicans were more stay at home, let's look after ourselves, don't get involved in other people's businesses. Well, as you quite rightly said, that particular mentality has gone out the window. There's been a holus bolus slide into aggressive imperial overreach. And that has been predominantly seen during the misrule of George W. Bush. But as I show in my book, it started with Ronald Reagan. And it got really, for the Republicans at least, it got to be full-blown with respect to the Middle East. And during Reagan's time, we can see a steady buildup of pro-Israel influence within the government. And this is neo-fascist. It is fascist literally in every sense of the word. The 14 points that Professor Lawrence W. Britt showed about what constitutes a fascist state are everywhere evident in the United States. And the United States does not exist. The United States is a shell of a company. It's a shallow, pathetic excuse for a republic. And nobody who is running for office has the courage to stand up to the Israel lobby. They bow and scrape and supplicate themselves like so many people coming to see the godfather of a crime organization. They're afraid to cross the godfather. And that's what you have now in the United States, an embarrassment of a country.
Well, you were telling me last night, Greg, about some developments up in Canada that suggest that some of these problems are being repristinated up there. What's transpiring in the Canadian political scene that will shed some light at the same time on what's happening in the American?
Up here we have essentially a two-party system between what is usually called the Conservative Party and the Liberals. Now, we have a third, another party. We have the New Democratic Party, which is a left-of-center, centrist party, but it's perennially a third-place party, and by itself, it'll never form government because it can never attract a large enough voter base. So we end up with either a majority or minority government based on the Liberals or the so-called Conservatives. Now, we haven't had a Conservative government for ages. We've had populists that have infiltrated the Conservative Party. And this began in the late 1990s with the rise of the Reform Party, led by Preston Manning and a bunch of Christian wackos from Alberta and British Columbia who tried to theocratize our political system. And these people are the ones who sort of winnowed their way into the party because of the great betrayal of Peter MacKay, who was head of the Progressive Conservative Party during the 1990s. He allowed, was probably toward the, I forget exactly what it was, probably the early 2000s, that he sold out and allowed the Progressive Conservative Party to merge with the Reform Party, and essentially allowed the enemy into the fort. And now the party has been completely swallowed up by Christian radicals and pro-Israel apologists. But the problem for Canada is that during the last few years of the Liberal government, we saw a takeover of the Liberal Party, too, to a far greater degree than we probably could have imagined. I mean, we had Paul Martin was the prime minister, and he was basically bowing and scraping to the Israel lobby because I think he was deathly afraid of crossing it. Erwin Kotler, who was justice minister, was actively sabotaging policy for Israel, doing Israel's bidding in the cabinet. And I wrote several columns about Erwin Kotler as essentially a treasonous fifth column element for Israel. So right now we have a problem that for Canadians, you have a choice of having a government right now which is run by intellectually incompetent Christian dilettantes, or you have a party led by probably better educated professional people, but who are also just as keen to serve the interests of Israel over the national interests of Canada. We have a group called the Liberal Parliamentarians for Israel, which essentially is a pressure group within the party that helps sabotage Canada's traditional down middle-of-the-road policy toward Palestine into abject subservience for Israel. And the Canadian public was appalled at this. Most Canadians are not pro-Israeli. Most Canadians have a sense of a moral sense, and they want Canada to be seen as a fair and just country. But that is no longer possible. So right now, Canadians are facing a possible election sometime in the near future to unseat Stephen Harper's minority government. He's of the Harper Party. I cannot call him conservative because he generally is not conservative. And it's the Liberal Party, the party that might replace him, is led by a man named Stéphane Dion, a French-speaking professor from Quebec who is probably a decent guy, but who has thoroughly sold out to the Israel lobby. He has appointed, Kotler, as his human rights advisor, which is like having Heinrich Himmler as your human rights advisor. He has Bob Rae, a former NDP Premier of Ontario, who has since changed parties, but who is solidly in the pro-Israel camp. His wife is a Zionist Jew, and that makes Bob Rae a Zionist as well. And so Bob Rae is making all these, giving advice to Stéphane Dion. And we have Dion unwilling to stand up to think for himself. And the great irony is that during the leadership campaign to select a new leader after Paul Martin stepped down, mercifully, it was the lobby that went after Stéphane Dion. The lobby owes nothing to Dion. Dion was put into power by people who wanted to stop the lobby's continued domination of the Liberal Party. They wanted an independent Canadian leader of the party. So why he's bowing and scraping to the lobby is anybody's guess. And for Canadians, the prospect of another election is horrific. We would have a choice between Stephen Harper's Christian Looney Tunes, who sell out to Israel America at every available opportunity, or we have the Liberal Party, which is just shot full of Zionists that would also perpetuate the pro-Israel aggressiveness that Stephen Harper has started. And we have the NDP in party that is too stupid to see any real difference between Harper and the Liberals. And I had a discussion with one of the MPs from the NDP not too long ago. He was a local fellow here in British Columbia. I met him at a function. And he's a nice fellow, smart, intelligent. But he hasn't got the political smarts. And the NDP actually brought down the Liberal government at the worst possible time. And inasmuch as the Martin government that was brought down was corrupt, incompetent, and just bloody awful. It was the one that started this strategic.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments. Advisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments. Or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments. Brother John Martinez, entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Mark Hancock's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Greg Felton of Vancouver, the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. Greg, I see that there's a report that CNN has out there this morning indicating that Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki met Sunday with a top U.S. military commander in Iraq to voice his outrage over the reported deaths of Iraqi civilians during a Sunday morning military raid in Baghdad's Sadr City. And reading through this account, we see a situation here, of course, where there are reports that as many as 15 civilians were killed, all men, and 52 other civilians were wounded, including women and children, in an operation that coalition forces say involved the targeting of a man that they said was a leader in an Iranian-funded kidnapping operation. U.S. military spokeswoman Sergeant Nicole Dykstra told CNN the target was, quote, neither apprehended nor killed. And yet apparently there were all kinds of civilians that were killed and wounded in this situation. And now, of course, the Iraqi Prime Minister al-Maliki is expressing his, using CNN's words here, his outrage over the reported deaths of these Iraqi civilians in his conversations with Petraeus. Have we really reached a point in this situation in Iraq where even the central government there is turning against the United States? I mean, we have this issue now of the Turks and the Kurds and the PKK. We've got the issue of Iran in this situation. You've got some of the Sunni and Shiite tensions that continue to be a factor. Now the American-backed central government is apparently having some real serious problems with what the occupation forces are doing. Where is all of this headed, in your judgment?
Well, I think we need to clarify that al-Maliki was never really pro-American. I mean, America doesn't have allies. It has dependencies, and it has enemies.
Yes.
In Iraq, people got into power not because they were pro-American, but because they're willing to sell out to the Americans. They're willing to collaborate with them.
Right.
Once in power, they were there to do is America's bidding. But the problem is, even though they were there for America's bidding, they weren't the real government. They were just taking orders from Washington to make sure Washington's, and by Washington I mean Israel's, objectives were looked after. So when you have a calamity such as happened in Sadr City with all these Iraqis being killed, you have to look at it from the American point of view, such that they don't really give a damn what happens to Iraqis. If they think that one person in a group of people might be, and I stress the word might be, a terrorist or somebody who harbors less than perfect love for America, they will go in with guns blazing and they will commit all sorts of disaster and atrocity just to get this person. And they'll rationalize, we were going after somebody. But that's like taking a bazooka and several armored personnel carriers into downtown San Antonio just because you've got a bank robber that might have run around the corner somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the way the Americans look at it. I mean, they don't care what happens to Iraqis. They've never cared what happens to Iraqis. If an Iraqi dies, it's simply one more dead Arab that the world could care less about. And so when a disaster like this happens and Maliki is upset that Americans aren't behaving, you know, properly, they aren't taking care of the Arabs, or they're not taking care not to kill Arabs, he's missing the point. I mean, the Americans aren't there to protect Iraq. America is there to kill Arabs and to sabotage the Iraqi economy such that it ends up in a permanently dependent state, and that is permanently dependent on the United States. And so what Maliki, if he had any guts, he would order the entire U.S. military out and find some way to work out with his enemies a coalition government. Because no leader who is dependent on a foreign occupying force is long for this world. And I don't know how long it's going to be before someone takes a shot at Maliki, because he has no future if he's going to continue to be propped up by a country that has no regard for his own people. What we saw today in Iraq, or yesterday in Iraq, is simply symptomatic of the general mentality of the United States. This is just something that we're going to have to see a lot more of, and it depends how long the Iranians are going to stand for. Now, you're quite right. This is interesting to see that the Iraqi government is standing up and getting publicly angry at the United States. And now we know Blackwater is being moved out of the country because it is essentially a private SS group that sort of runs riot and is unaccountable to anyone. But this is just further sign that the United States policy in Iraq is failing. It was never I wouldn't say failing, but it's having effects that are so deleterious.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Did you know that one goal of international communism was to get our young people's mind off religion by getting them onto sex? By destroying the morals of the younger generation, America would eventually become ripe for revolution without understanding why communism wanted to make young people soft and easily controlled. Have we witnessed this transformation of our young people away from God and the Bible to immorality? We'd like to help you understand how these things are coming to pass by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736 to request your subscription. Call now. Operators are standing by to receive your call.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing, with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time, and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now, you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code Club Radio when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to safecastleroyal.com. That's safecastleroyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared. Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
The time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton hooks up with us today from Canada. Greg is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. Greg, before we move on to a couple of the other questions that you and I chatted about on the phone last night, I'm reminded of something that is a real curiosity to me. I remember in 19... 2003, hearing the official estimate of CENTCOM that there were 5,000 insurgents in Iraq. Now, a year later, I heard them say that, well, we now think there are 20,000 insurgents in Iraq, which made me think, well, either CENTCOM totally blew the original estimate, or American policy in Iraq has produced four times as many insurgents as existed the year before. I have since seen no figures emanating from anyone in regard to how many insurgents are actually believed to exist in that country. Have you seen any figures on this?
No, I haven't. And perhaps one of the reasons is that there is no real way to define who is an insurgent. I mean, there's one thing about Iraq that is very similar to Vietnam, and that is the United States did not understand its enemy and did not recognize its enemy. I mean, the United States and Vietnam essentially treated every South Vietnamese as a potential enemy. But the Viet Cong did not march in formation, did not wear uniforms, did not proclaim its banners openly. It was a guerrilla force. And if you're an American occupier in Iraq, and you look at some piece of bombed-out Baghdad, and you're just patrolling there, and you're seeing people go about their business, you have no way to know who is or is not an insurgent. And so what we have now is the United States is caught in a position that it doesn't even know who the enemy is. And we have, again, a 6-6 scenario in which Americans will kill anybody they think might possibly, theoretically, in the most bizarre scenario, might be an insurgent. But to be an insurgent in Iraq these days is pretty much to be a liberator, a rebel, because the people who are fighting the Maliki government are closer to the minds and the spirit of the Iraqi people than the Americans are. And so Americans really can't say X so-and-so is an insurgent unless they decide, oh, we're going to decide beforehand that this person is an insurgent and we're going to go after him and do whatever to him we feel we have to. An insurgent is pretty much an arbitrary distinction because there's no way to say who is or is not working, you know, against America's interests or Israel's interests. So you end up with a very perverted and very disturbing mentality. Americans are in Iraq, and they don't know who to kill. They don't know who is the enemy. They have no idea. And this is exactly what happened in Vietnam. Americans were defeated because they could not see the enemy. The enemy defeated America because America had no policy. It had no political solution to the problem of a broken, fractured country. It started killing, and killing for its own sake became its own justification for existence. And so if you look at who's fighting the United States, you're probably finding more and more people are joining the ranks of the disaffected, of the rebels. And the United States is going to find itself fighting greater and greater numbers. Now, I suspect the United States isn't reporting figures, A, because they don't know, although what little third-rate intelligence they do have tells them the numbers are increasing. And the last thing you want to tell your people is that this war that we started for no good reason is costing us more and more lives, and we're making matters worse by trying to kill the people that should be helping us stabilize the country. And so this is the preferred scenario that the United States faces now. And the reason you haven't seen figures is kind of like the body bags coming out of Vietnam. I mean, the body bags stopped being reported after a while. And you don't want to see body bags, especially if those body bags refer to the moribund state of American policy.
Yes, you were talking with me last night, Greg, about a book that has been published that is a most curious thing. You will, I guess, be in a position of just being able to discuss this on a limited basis right now on the air. But this book publishing situation has much wider implications. You want to discuss that a little bit this morning?
Okay, I can do a little bit. I mean, I've only just read some reviews of this book. I haven't had a chance to look at it myself yet. But I don't think that any way inhibits my ability to speak of it, because I've seen interviews with the author, and what she has to say is historically monstrous. To give some background, one of the worst war crimes in World War II was the murder of about 600,000 Hungarian Jews by the Nazis. And one of the people who made this possible was a Jew by the name of Rudolf Kastner, or Rezu Kastner in Hungarian. And Rezu Kastner betrayed whole groups of Jews to the Nazis so that he could get his own friends and family and a few other elite Jews out of the country. It was called Kastner's Train. And if you know anything about World War II history, the Zionists, the Jewish agency in Germany, was an active collaborator with the Nazis for much of the 1930s. It was the principle upon which the transfer agreement was made, and that was the transfer of Jewish wealth to the Hitler regime so that it could survive the first tenuous years of its existence, because frankly Hitler's regime probably should not have survived more than a few years because of the decrepit state of the Nazi economy, the German economy at the time. At any rate, Kastner openly collaborated with a man named Becker, who was a Nazi involved with the deportation of Jews at the time. He was an SS officer. And because of Kastner's collaboration and role in the deaths of all these hundreds of thousands of Jews, a man named Malkiel Grinwald, an elderly man, brought a charge of collaboration against Kastner in Israel in 1954. Now, Kastner didn't do anything about it. By this time, Kastner was a very prominent political figure in the Mapai Party in Israel. He was a big shot, a very conspicuously important person. But the problem here was that the Attorney General at the time, Chaim Cohen, had to force Kastner to sue Grinwald for libel. Now, you've got to ask yourself why somebody had to be forced to sue for libel is an interesting point. Because if someone had libeled me, and I have been libeled, but I can't really be bothered right now to fight some of the pettier people out there like Ezra Levant. But the point is, you had Kastner forced to go to court to defend himself. And the case became the Grinwald case, but it became nicknamed the Kastner trial. And the trial was held before a single judge, Benjamin Halevi, and he heard the evidence against Kastner, and he heard the charge about Grinwald. And he essentially came to the conclusion that Grinwald was correct. And he found that Kastner was a willing and enthusiastic collaborator with the Nazis. And here's from page 11 of the decision of the Attorney General versus Grinwald. I'll read a short piece here for you. The benefit that Kastner gained from the contract of May 2, 1944 with the Nazis was the rescue of the camp of prominent Jews. And the price that he had to pay for this was a complete surrender of any attempts at real rescue steps benefiting the camp of the people, the Jews in general. The price the Nazis paid for this was to waive the extermination of the camp of prominence. With this contract to save the prominent Jews, the head of the Aid and Rescue Committee, that was Kastner, made a concession with the exterminator. In return for the rescue of the prominent Jews, Kastner agreed to the extermination of the people and abandoned them to their fate. Kastner, as I said there parenthetically, was head of the Aid and Rescue, Jewish Aid and Rescue Committee. These were the people that the Jews turned to for help against the Nazis, the very person that betrayed him. Furthermore, after the war, Kastner spoke very positively in behalf of Becker, the fellow that Kurt Becker, an SS officer, who was involved with the deportation of the Jews. And it's because of that, Becker was not sentenced to death or tried in the Nuremberg trials. And Benjamin Halevi did in his hearing, in his judgment, he found that Kastner openly and willingly collaborated with them in a contract. And his decision is very contractarian, like this was a business arrangement. And his evidence is quite strong. It's a very powerful and very persuasive judgment. Problem is, this presented a problem for the state of Israel. Because if you have someone like Kastner convicted of collusion, well then, you have a problem of, well, how many other Jews did? What does that say about the Jews of Hitler's Germany? What does it say about Israel? Is Israel a country of collaborators, of Nazi collaborators? And frankly, the answer was yes. That is essentially what it was. Because the appeals court overturned Halevi's decision, and Agranat, who was one of the judges, stated, quote, "The change was important, that is to say, the change in decision, because Halevi's judgment seemed to imply a seamless transition between the world of Kastner and occupied Budapest and that in Israel of the 1950s. And that is precisely why Benjamin Halevi's initial decision was quite correct. Because of the power of Kastner as a member of the Mapai Party, and he was a member on to be elected to the Knesset, he could not be charged, he could not be considered to be such an odious person. Because later it was said the need for the cover-up was necessary because of the very fact that the court was not the appropriate forum to examine these charges, the appeals court said. They wanted to take the issue out of the courts. They wanted to bury it. They wanted to hide it. Not because Kastner was innocent, but because he was guilty. And Kastner's guilt could not publicly be admitted. So the appeal, which was essentially a whitewash of a legitimate court decision, forms the basis of this new book. It's by Anna Porter, a Canadian authoress, who has quite a good pedigree of being an author and has a lot of awards and plaudits to her name. She wrote a book called Kastner's Train, which whitewashes Kastner's crimes, takes up the appeals court decision, and essentially calls this man, if you can believe it, the Hungarian Schindler, a hero of the Jews of Hungary. The book is itself, based on what I've seen, an utter whitewash, a sham, fraud. Inasmuch as she is correct that Kastner was responsible for getting 1,684 Jews out of Hungary, these are, as Benjamin Halevi said, the prominent Jews. These were the Zionist Jews, friends and family of Kastner from his town of Cluj in Hungary. And we're to take at face value Anna Porter's contention that Kastner was a hero to the Jews because of these few Jews that he brought out of Hungary. We don't hear from her the cost of the Jews, how many hundreds of thousands of Jews were sacrificed just so Kastner's buddies could get out. And this is what is the most disturbing and offensive piece of writing that has come out of Canada quite in recent history. But I want to bring up one interesting point, and that is why this story is even being told now. I mean, Kastner has been a notorious example of Zionist Nazi collaboration for decades. And it's part of the historical record, and it's like trying to rewrite history. And if you look at precisely what state Israel is in today, it has no friends. It has only dependencies and sycophants. There has to be some way to reinvent Israel as a great haven for Jews, as some sort of virtuous state. And I suspect that this book was written for propaganda purposes, although I haven't yet been able to interview Porter to find out precisely why she wrote it. I do know she spoke with a man named Peter Munk, a Canadian billionaire, who was head of Barrick Gold, and he was one of the people who was saved by Kastner. So I don't know to what degree Peter Munk's experiences colored her interpretation of matters, or whether she was even just put up to do this by Munk. in the same way that Joan Peters was put up to write the farcical From Time Immemorial, which was essentially a historically fraudulent book trying to argue that that Palestine was not populated by Arabs when the Jews started invading in the 1920s. So I had to ask myself why this book was being written, and I tend to investigate this further in the next month or two to find out why such a fraudulent book would have been written. Because whatever you want to say about Castro, even if you want to make an excuse for him, which would be tasteless, but I suppose you could do it, to call him a hero is an outright lie. That is a fraud. That is a disrespect of history and a contempt of the memory of every Jew that was sacrificed so that Castro could get his friends and family out of Hungary. This has to be seen as propaganda, and there's been nobody in the press that has gone after Porter for this. I tried to bring it to the attention of the the director of the Vancouver International Book Festival, which was recently held here in Vancouver, and at which Porter had two speaking venues, but I did not hear.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
System is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Visible.
visible.
The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
No maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
We're back. This is Mark Dancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're in the last couple of minutes of our conversation with Greg Felton, who hooks up with us today from Vancouver. Greg is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. Greg, the Arab-American Anti-Discrimination Committee, which people can find at adc.org, has a news release of October the 19th talking about something called Islamofascism Awareness Week. And in that regard, this Islamofascism Awareness Week, according to the Arab American Anti-Discrimination Committee, is spreading hate and fear of Arabs and Islam by spreading false, hateful, and biased messages, quote-unquote. And when you look at this list of speakers, The Islamofascism Awareness Week organizers apparently are asking students to participate in a campaign to disseminate presentations such as, quote, the Islamic Mein Kampf, unquote. They also try to connect Islam with fascism and Arabs and Muslims with Nazis. In his blog, David Horowitz, the director of this Islamofascist initiative, proclaims that Palestinians are the, quote, quintessential Islamofascists, unquote, and that their cause is, quote unquote, genocidal. What's your reaction to this?
Disgust and hatred. And this is so disgusting. This is what the Nazis did to the Jews. They demonized them. They turned them into unpersons. They treated them like subhumans. The term Islamofascism is a nonsense term because it's utterly perverse, because there's no such no connection of fascism to Islam. That's outrightly a libel. But because you have to demonize Arabs through Israel, you have to concoct sophistries. And this is one of the great lies that the Zionist lobby is foisting on us. It's disgusting. It's a fraud. And it should be denounced as hate speech. I don't know if you can hear me. I'm getting some feedback at my end.
Yes, I am too.
Now, it is disgusting, it's fraudulent, and David Horowitz should be charged with libel. He should be charged with disseminating hatred and fomenting violence against Arabs. It's corrupt, it's dishonest, it's fraudulent. Palestinians they are the victims of genocide. They are being killed systematically by Zionist Jews who want them dead or out of the country. And Horowitz is a liar. He's a fraud.
Well, I found myself in reading Horowitz's utilization of the word genocidal. It seemed to me to be a classic Orwellian twist in terms of who the perpetrators are and who the victims are.
Perfect. It's exactly right. It's a standard lie by turning truth on its head.